Good morning, Ajahn. Good morning, everyone. This morning is the last time that I can join the teaching this time. So, first of all, I would like to say on my thankful to Ajahn and everyone, and on the condition me being here with Dhamma friend here, just say very thank you, Ajahn and everyone. I have the question here. In the sutta said, human birth is hard to gain, and knowing Dharma is also very hard. I would like to know that whether this sutta talking about the conventional meaning, or it talking about the very little of the kusala or the wholesome citta in the life, because as yesterday, knowing that to become the human is really, really difficult, and only at the moment of kusala citta, at the that moment.
And the most difficult is understanding the teachings and realities. The teaching about realities are very difficult. Even we talk about seeing, and there is seeing. What about the understanding of seeing is not self, just a moment which arises to see only, and it falls away instantly.
I have a question for you, Gern.
If it's so difficult to understand about seeing an invisible object now, to understand about reality now, does that mean that one should go and practice, or one should meditate, or follow some activity?
Yes, anything that intend to do something that is impossible, because it's the rise follower it in very, very sub-second, and it's quite impossible to intend doing something. Yeah, I think that's true.
So why is it useless to think about going somewhere to meditate, or thinking about a quiet, favorable place to study Dharma, or sitting in a quiet room and focusing on an object? Why is that useless?
I think there's still the idea of self there, accumulate more, because from beginning maybe the wrong idea of the self develop the more and more idea of the self there.
So going somewhere to meditate, is it the right path or the wrong path?
As long as right now, I think that's the wrong path. I think that's wrong.
As long as right now? What do you mean as long as right now?
Because in the past time, I still think that sitting in the quiet area, it make easier to be calm, or easier to be, let's say, silent the mind. But after a period of time practicing, I recognize that it's not correct. Chitta's moment, it's very moment without understanding anything. That is from what I'm...
So what does it mean to practice? What is practicing the Buddha's teachings?
There is no practicing at all, I think. The meaning here is the practicing meanings, the for beginning needs to be understood first. Then practice in the phenomena, not in doing something, I think.
What does it mean to practice in the phenomena?
Like if we understand something, not something, the reality, from the interior first, then time to time, accumulating from the Dharma, then I want to say that maybe not correct in English, but if the way how it goes naturally to developing the recognition of the reality, like naturally, and that is the mean of practicing in what I'm understanding right now.
So we can say the
Pariyatti leads to the Patipatti, the direct understanding. So the other ideas about practicing like before is wrong practicing or wrong path. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So now no interest in quiet place or following some method, and no idea that the friends who follow these ideas are the most suitable ones to associate with. Is that correct?
Yeah. But most honestly, sometimes when having a lot of work, I do sitting meditation around 15 minutes in the morning or in the night time. Make me relax to be easier to sleep. Yeah. Very recently, past a recent time.
And you mentioned calm before.
What is calm? What is true relaxation or calm?
Experiencing during last time, I think, because most of the time focusing on the breath, then eliminate ila cái suy nghĩ mà thua là không eliminate most of the the big thought about.
So now if we put the microphones down and close our eyes and focus on breath, and so no, not so many thoughts about what we ate for breakfast or about the Dharma discussion, is that calm? Is that true relaxation?
I don't know. Same, it's quite similar to that experience. I'm not talking about the calm, we're understanding that the teaching, right? But quite similar during that time.
What mental factor is calm?
Sorry, I forgot.
Okay. Let's, pasadi chetasika. This mental factor, which is calm, pasadi chetasika, does it arise with kusala chitas or akusala chitas?
Yes, kusala for sure.
Kusala. Yeah. Okay, so at a moment of closing eyes and focus on breath or another object at that moment, is it kusala chita or akusala chita?
Yes, because of the idea of self there, then it's akusala.
Because one would like to focus on breath, one would like to have that experience, one would like to have some relaxation. So actually, at that moment, it's attachment. So when there is attachment, can there be calm? Can pasadi chetasika or calm arise with lobha, mula chitas, or with wrong view at that moment?
Yes, because the wrong view of the calm, what the calm is, the word, wrong understanding of the word. Like normally thinking calm, just not thinking much. From the beginning, wrong about the calm meaning.
So what we take for calm, for example, we go to for a beautiful walk and enjoy the sunrise or the lovely rainbow, and we feel calm and relaxed. Actually, it's pleasant feeling with attachment that we're enjoying so much.
Mm.
So like, this isn't the meaning of calm or pasadi chetasika that arises with kusala chittas. And in the same way, if we close our eyes and focus on the breath, actually it's attachment, like you say, usually of a wrong idea of I can do, pleasant feeling, but it's not calm or pasadi because it's attachment.
I see.
And the danger is we take that attachment, that pleasant feeling, for being something wholesome, for being a right practice, but actually it's a wrong practice because we follow it more and more to have more and more pleasant feeling or more and more good experiences, not realizing it's the wrong path from the very beginning.
Sorry, I missed your point before. Yesterday we ran out around the lake and seeing the rainbow, the beautiful, the pleasant feeling at that moment of the loba.
Yes.
Yesterday I had some example about the calm, the truly calm
with understanding,
like at the moment of the sharing something, of helping people without any attachment. And
because at that moment of sharing something or thinking of the other's welfare, like when you just came to help bring the chairs in or try to make people comfortable, at those moments of kusala, there's no clinging to oneself at those moments, just very briefly. So at those moments of kusala, thinking the needs of the others, there is calm, not trying to be calm, but naturally at moments of metta or kindness, the citta is calm. And at moments of understanding, like at the beginning when you were talking about seeing now and what is seen, visible object, understanding that life is just at this moment, the whole world is just now, just at a moment of seeing or hearing, at that moment the citta is calm, not trying to have it, but naturally it's calm, different from when one's just following one's attachment and feeling so pleasant as usual. So it doesn't mean don't go out and enjoy the sunrise, but don't think that that pleasant feeling is calm, which only arises with kusala chittas. So this is why we have to hear more and more about different realities, so we don't kid ourselves that what is unwholesome is wholesome, or we don't think that when we close our eyes and focus on the breath that this is real calm, because actually it's just attachment at those times.
The calm of kusala and the relaxed feeling that comes from meditation or listening to music or anything that makes one feel relaxed, these are two different things altogether. We may think that because the meditation is thinking about the Dhamma or some kind of wholesome things, it is itself wholesome citta, but that is not the case. When kusala does arise naturally in a day, then at those moments there is the opportunity for the characteristic of calm, which is a mental factor, to be known.
Like Sarah talked before, when bringing a chair for people without any thinking about the self, but at that moment, no understanding about the realities or about anything, then is it calm at this moment?
The answer is, if it's kusala, there is the pasadi mental factor also arising. But we cannot assume that because the act is one that we would call wholesome, that the citta is necessarily wholesome all the time. Any act spans a long period of time, and the jittas can be mixed, some kusala, some akusala. So it's not easy to learn the characteristic of calm that is associated with kusala moments.
So, not yet back to the reality, the characteristic of the calm, right? Calm can arise without panya at this moment, right?
Yes. It's calmness of citta. It's not calmness of the person. Calmness of citta. It's the opposite of restlessness of citta, which is the signature characteristic of unwholesome moments. Just to emphasize that the way of coming to know more about the characteristic of kusala is not to try and be calm, to do something that brings us to a calm state, but to recognize wholesome moments when they arise naturally in daily life, as they do. And at those moments, that is when the characteristic of calmness, of citta, can be known, if there is panya arising.
The point here is not about trying to have a calm or mindfulness, but the point is about the understanding of whatever realities arise, right? And because last night we've been talking much about, we're talking just in theory, from my point of view, like seeing, hearing, or touching, even touching right now, without any understanding, just hearing about the theory that then, yeah, for sure, that's the reason why I raised the question. It's really difficult to be the human, really difficult to knowing the Dharma. Is talking about the citta. You got my point, right? Because from my point of view right now, it's still in very theoretical.
It is. The obtaining of birth as a human is difficult, and yet that is what has happened in this lifetime. It's not something one needs to dwell upon too much. It's better to understand what are the conditions for birth as a human being, what are the conditions for the development of kusala, and not worry about how difficult it is said to be.
I'm not about the worry, just understand what the sutta are talking about. Just yeah.
So now, this life as a human, it's a precious opportunity, and we have the opportunity to hear and consider and understand more about realities, so better not waste it by following the wrong path or the wrong practice at all. And even though the understanding now is very little, and as you say, you can say it's theoretical or intellectual, but it is the beginning. It is the beginning which leads to the right path. Because if we never heard about seeing an invisible object, there would be no considering at all about these different realities. There would be no beginning of understanding that there is no self who can do anything at all. So it doesn't matter whether it's a little or a lot. I don't think about that at all. But now there is an opportunity to understand what appears now, because there's visible object now, the sound here. So this is the precious opportunity in this life. So no need to waste time thinking about another life and what may happen. But now there is the chance to hear about realities and understand more and not think about those practices that lead one astray and are such a great hindrance to understanding at this moment.
I think one of the points that were raised yesterday in our discussion is that we know that by the Buddha's teaching, each moment the citta experiences just one object at a time. But although I think Kuang has said that he had faith on that, but because he has not directly experienced that, so it seems like not something so sure, right? Like now it seems like everything is happening at the same time. So could you please say something more about one citta experiencing one object at a time, and how can solid or firm theoretical understanding of it?
Okay, there is seeing right now, in a moment.
Yes.
At the moment of whatever appears, it means that there must be a reality which experiences that, right?
Yes.
No one there. So the most important thing is to understand the true nature of whatever appears. It doesn't mean that there's no seeing. There is. But there's no understanding as it is, as not self. And there is that which is seen, but no understanding as just that which can be seen. So the words of the Buddha should be considered very carefully, whether it's true or not. And this is the beginning of to be confident in the truth, that the truth is the truth. People have different ideas, but the truth must be the truth. Who condition seeing? A God? A Buddha? Or who?
Reality.
No one at all. Because by understanding is one begins to see that there is no self. From hearing again and again and again, but not enough to condition the direct understanding of that which can experience. No matter it is seeing or hearing or thinking or whatever, that which can experience. Its characteristic is the experiencing reality which is conditioned to arise all in one life. Now many things appear, no idea about that which experienced that at all. So it's hidden, no matter we talk much about it. As not self. Seeing is conditioned, hearing is conditioned, thinking is conditioned, but that is not enough. So I think that what is more precious, to think that one is calm or try to be like that, to have knowledge or understanding by not attending to the teachings and reality right now. No other way at all. And why is so very, very difficult? Because a moment of seeing is so very short. Each moment is so short. So what is covered, what covers the truth is the nimitta, the image, the sign of that which now arising and falling away all the time. Because there is ignorance and attachment to that as soon as it's there. Seeing. Arising, falling away. And after that, for some moments, there must be attachment or wrong understanding and the idea of self. No need to say that they are there, because it has to be right understanding of that which appears. What cannot appear is under the water, under the ocean. But the teachings of the Buddha pointed out all these realities as different ones in a day, in one's life, from moment to moment. So we can see that nothing is much more as worthy as the teachings of the Buddha, because each word brings about understanding of that which hasn't been before at all. And it has to be right understanding from the very beginning, like Dhamma. No one, it's Dhamma, reality. All Dhammas are anatta, not under anyone's control. No one can make it arise. No one can change its characteristic, because it's conditioned to arise. That's all, to perform the function of seeing, hearing, thinking, or a characteristic which is different from other, like smell is not taste. No attention to that, as it's a reality when it appears. But take it for food, different kinds of different tastes, and cling to that all day, all the time, from birth to death. That's why the truth is covered from moment to moment for long, long times ago. And up until now, it's covered. But the words of the teaching brings about understanding of that which is behind the scene. For example, they are citta. Is it known now? And cetasikas? Not known now. And the rupa, the exact characteristic, which cannot be anyone at all. Until at this moment of seeing, from hearing again and again and again carefully, and seeing the precious, that is the only way to get out of ignorance and attachment of samsara. Keeps on arising and falling away. Nobody can stop the way it is. No one can stop the arising of citta, cetasika, and rupa. But ignorance clings more and more and more, covers up all the truth. So each word of the teaching should bring about the detachment. If it's not, it will bring attachment. Just wanting to know, trying so much to know, trying to be here or there in the forest or in the meditation center, just wanting to get it, but not understanding whatever appears right now, because of not understanding the anatta-ness of reality. So now, who knows whatever is there without the teachings of the Buddha? If you look for calm, what is better, understanding or calm?
For sure, better understanding. Like you're talking about behind the scene, I have raised the idea. Sorry, when we watch the video.
That is thinking, not the moment of seeing right now.
Yes, I just they can prove that if you can put 24 images in 1 second.
Still thinking.
I still that thinking. Image,
yes, but
and
what conditioned thinking? No one can stop thinking about ideas, but what conditioned thinking? If there is no seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching at all, can be the so different subjects in the world, techniques and everything. Non-stop.
Yeah. Sorry, I interrupt you again. Not now.
Because if you think about story and not about that which conditions thinking, no matter
yes,
when and
yes.
What about.
Yes. I just would like to understand about the condition for thinking. About the memory, about the what we saw, right?
So now, if there's no seeing of visible object or hearing of sound now, can there be any thinking about it afterwards? Like when we leave the room, can there be thinking about Ajahn and all the people here if there wasn't any seeing or hearing? So it's because of experiences through the sense doors and memory of those experiences that there is so much thinking, like dreaming at night, just memories of different sense experiences from before. So actually, without seeing and hearing, there's no thinking about glasses and microphones and people and table and so on.
Sarah, you mentioned yesterday night that strong attachment cannot be the object of awareness, or it cannot condition awareness. So there's an implication that the unwholesome reality can be a condition for awareness. Is that obviously a condition, not the only condition? But because you said that strong attachment cannot be a condition for awareness, that implies that the lesser attachment can condition awareness by being the object, or
in any reality can be the object. Strong attachment, subtle attachment, if there's no understanding, no awareness of strong attachment, then there won't be any awareness or understanding of subtle attachment. I think the point that was being made, and maybe this is Vincent's point too, we were talking about Upanisya Gotra, is that the point? And Ajahn made a comment that if there is strong attachment to sense object, then it won't be the object, the Aramana or Gotra, the object that becomes the habitual object of awareness or understanding, because there is so much attachment to it.
So the attachment can be object conditioned for awareness. By
it can be Aramana Paccaya, it can be the object of understanding. Any object, any reality can be the object. But what is the
but can be
object
the, but
that
can
is
actually condition the awareness? So that attachment or anger can condition awareness by being by object condition. Is that true?
By object condition, it just means it is the object of citta. So when we say that object, that attachment or that dosa conditions awareness or conditions the citta, what it just means is Aramana Paccaya just means it is the object, that's all. So citta experiences it, awareness experiences it. That's all that it means. It just means it's the object of that citta at that moment. And so any reality, visible object, attachment, strong attachment can be the object. But if there is so much attachment to visible object, then visible object won't be the commonly accumulated object of the development of understanding. That was the point. And actually Vincent had a follow-up point on that, which I suggested would be good to bring up to Ajahn. When we were talking about Upanisya Gotra, Ajahn, Vincent mentioned, well, if the strong attachment to sense objects means it won't be the Upanisya Gotra, then would it be better to develop jhana or something like that?
I just wonder, because at that time it could be seen the danger of strong attachment, and so some people may think it's beneficial to subdue, to try to suppress the attachment. So it cannot be used as an argument to be encouraged to, you know, to reduce the degree of attachment.
Is there attachment now?
Not sure.
It's not as strong. What about panya, merit understanding? Can it arise? See? So it's not the matter of whether it's strong or weak attachment or any reality, but it depends on right understanding, which can understand whatever awareness is aware of at any time, by that level of understanding only. For example, right now, to understand reality is not easy at all. So instead of thinking about how to have direct awareness, just think about the understanding. Is it enough to condition the understanding of the anattaness? This is the most important because it's opposite of atta. That's why the more there is the understanding, the kusala citta and all kusala develop in daily life, it will be conditioned for direct awareness with the understanding of the anattaness, no matter it's weak or strong object.
Sorry.
No selection.
Ajahn talking about the kusala developed in daily life. It is mentioned about
not for attachment to it, but to know that it conditions the moment of wholesomeness without ignorance. Otherwise, there must be moments of ignorance all day. But no wishing to have it as the condition for direct awareness. Because lopa follows one all the time, left and right, in front or back, up or down. See? It is compared to the space in between kalapas. So we don't know and we don't mind at all about the asava which arises after seeing. As soon as seeing and three more moments have fallen away, it's there, unknown. So the development of understanding is among the heap of akusala. But it can understand. The words of the teaching is called Dhamma Teja, the power of the words of understanding can bring understanding to those who have right attention for detachment, not for how can I have it, that is attachment. But to see that it's impossible for anyone to do anything, but understanding begins to understand better and better. So the question is whether now it is satyayana of the intellectual understanding or not yet. If it's not satyayana, no way to think about having awareness because it can arise any moment only from the accumulation of conditions for it to arise.
So the understanding support the
Understanding, intellectual understanding.
Understanding is understanding, no one.
Yeah, that kind of characteristic of jatita support
and
the developing.
When it is understanding, it detached, not attached.
And also it support developing the kusala.
More
the
and more, life. On and on.
Okay,
until the moment
point.
Of enlightenment.
No one
there.
Trying to do the kusala or wholesome in the daily life.
Just going to get back to Vincent's point. And if one knows there's strong attachment and one would like to have less attachment and one thinks one should try to suppress the attachment, so one should follow some practice or develop calm to suppress the attachment, actually it's just more and more attachment that's being accumulated. Because as soon as it's an idea of I shall suppress the attachment because I would like to have less attachment, actually it's attachment at that moment. It's not the understanding of calm, an understanding of object that can condition calm naturally.
Right, that's my prior understanding is not too much concern about the strong attachment because Banya can take care of everything. Just that reminder, I was just curious, people may use that kind of statement to say, oh, so that can be encouraged to, you know, to develop jhana or excess concentration. But just like Satipatthana, the citta section, because when lobha arises, it can be the object. So it doesn't say the degree of lobha, so I assume it could be very strong. It's, as long as the sati or banya is also accumulated enough, right?
So if they say, oh, well, there's not enough understanding, it's just a little and it's just a theoretical, so the lobha isn't being taken care of, so I'll develop access, concentration, or jhana. Is there any understanding at all of what jhana is, or access, concentration is, or even is there any understanding of what calm is at this moment? Because if there's not even beginning understanding of what calm is right now, how can any calm be developed, let alone this degree of calm? So actually it's just wishful thinking, oh, there's so much attachment, so I better practice jhana, but actually no understanding of satipatthana and no understanding of samatha bhavana either, because no understanding of reality, no understanding of calm, and it's just strong clinging to the self from the very beginning.
Right. But also, on the other hand, when someone has that kind of accumulation, just naturally want to sit down and close the eye. Very natural. That's fine, right?
That's what?
That's okay, right? It's not like, oh, I should not sit and close my eye, but because it's very natural, it's not really not looking after anything. It just want to do that.
I think.
Okay. And you enjoy that moment very much, before and after. No understanding at all. Because not enough conditions for satipatthana to arise. It's just the word everyone says, satipatthana. Is what is the difference between just sati and satipatthana? Just talk about satipatthana and go to have such experience and enjoy it even before and after, again and again and again. What about the understanding of sati and satipatthana? Because it's not in the book. Here now there is sati at moment of understanding. Intellectually about realities right now, they're under the ocean, but we talk about those which are there in order to know and understand little by little what is what, so that sati can arise and be aware of it unexpectedly. But there must be conditions for its arising. It doesn't mean that it can arise unexpectedly, but without any conditions at all. So the best thing is to understand the reality, even from hearing and considering, to be more confident, to be satyayana, and leave it to conditions. No matter one is sitting, enjoying the cinema or whatever it is, even listen to the very beautiful music, when there are conditions for right understanding to arise, it's there, naturally, unexpectedly. But lobha follows immediately to have it more, depending on conditions. All the way of the teachings lead to the understanding of anattaness, in order to letting go that which Atta clings so much to all five khandhas as something permanent. It's happier than just wanting to sit, wishing for something happen, or no expectation at all. Just sit and enjoy sitting
without any expectation for something to be known.
So is there not,
for those who think that they have that natural accumulation, is there not still the lurking idea that it will be beneficial to the development of kusala in some way or other, whether they acknowledge that or not? Some kind of motivation, because sitting in a particular cross-legged posture and maintaining stillness for a period is not really a natural kind of behavior. Of course, if it's been practiced for a long time, it can seem more natural, but the reason why it was practiced in the first place was because of the underlying belief that it is an action that will be beneficial to development of kusala.
Like Kyung said earlier about sitting and having less thinking, so there's an expectation of less thinking or less disturbance. So immediately it's attachment there, and there is the idea that if there is less thinking, that this is more beneficial to the development. So those eyes, so even if one says, oh, well, I'm not focusing on anything, but I'm just sitting quietly, and then there's less thinking, actually, it's still an idea of practice or doing something.
In order to listening more clearly, so I close my eyes.
Naturally.
Yeah,
oh, do you think that if you close, you can understand better?
Maybe when I close my eyes, I think one cent door closed. That means I try to do this.
No part is there.
But when I close my eye, I feel I can
but
understand more.
When you understand the condition for the moment of closing your eyes as yourself, that should be developed. Not just thinking about whether it's helpful or beneficial. Even just a littering in life, one can see that it's motivated by lopa, unknowingly all the time, even the time of opening your eyes when you wake up in the morning. Lopa is there. But lopa is lopa, and right understanding is right understanding. No one can stop the arising of lopa, but panya begins to understand that it's not I. It's just a characteristic which is different from the others. That's all. It's now. See?
When I heard Ajahn says, the understanding is very, very little.
That's why no way to do anything to have it arise. To understand it is the best thing.
So when we haven't attained vipassana and our understanding is very weak, there are these two realities. There's awareness itself, the studying of reality, but there's panya, which grows as well. And so it's not that awareness starts and then understanding grows from awareness, but these two seem to arise simultaneously.
They arise together, cannot be separated.
So at the moment of awareness of a reality, that reality appears. So it's hardness is hardness. There's the studying of hardness. So hardness is clearer. What does therefore understanding do, which is different from the awareness?
There is touching now, right? It depends on the individual understanding at that very moment. Is there any understanding as just a reality which is hard? or more than that, by conditions, depending on conditions. That can be the enlightenment even that moment of the Four Noble Truths, depending on just that, from not knowing or understanding it at all until developing more and more understanding gradually, naturally, unexpectedly.
So the difference between awareness and panya is or understanding. So when there is understanding, that there is no self, no person there, and that is that grows
to in be in a moment among akusala in the beginning, until more moments among akusala, until more kusala moment than akusala, little by little.
Going back to what you said about calm, we actually, and there's a sutta, but we actually day to day enjoy restlessness because we like the movies, and in the movie there is the tension within the movie, and we enjoy music, but in music there is tension within the music. So I think that we need to be honest to recognize that actually we like to be restless. In actual fact, we cling to that, those movies, those sounds, and the restlessness that there is in that.
Where's the tension?
Sorry?
Where is the tension?
I think in the music can condition.
You mentioned tension or disturbance
in the music or the movie, but what is seen is just rupa. What is heard is just rupa. We cannot.
But it conditions.
There's no restlessness or tension in rupa.
For
not
an arahata, can it?
Pardon?
For an arahata, can it?
No.
So, what is the real cause?
So the tension isn't in the music. The tension conditions the citta with restlessness, in the movie.
For an arahata?
No, not for arahata.
So for those who are not arahata, what are the conditions for such moment?
Akusala, yes. But the
nothing to do with the what is seen
or heard. It's just the accumulation of attachment, the accumulation of restlessness, sanya.
So it's thinking. Nothing to do with the music itself. It's
don't,
nothing to
don't
do with blame the movie.
The music or the movie.
So nothing to do with metal music that one hears or rock music.
I think what you're saying is that one can watch a horror movie and enjoy it even though it's very unpleasant to watch.
Yes.
So, and there can be attachment to the unpleasant aspect as it's perceived.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's very normal, isn't it?
It is very normal. What I'm saying is actually we enjoy being restless because we are restless while we watch the movie, and we actually enjoy that. We enjoy that tension in the movie.
Yeah, we enjoy being frightened.
We enjoy being frightened.
Accumulations and moments as well.
It's not the tension in the movie.
It's
so
not in the rupa.
Attachment to. There could be attachment to anything. Mm-hmm. There can be attachment to dosa. There can be attachment to fear. There can be attachment to restlessness. But it's not agitation or disturbance in the movie.
No, but it conditions.
What conditions?
The sound conditions the restlessness.
The accumulation of restlessness.
The accumulation, yes, it wouldn't condition restlessness for an arahata.
So we can't say it is the sound that conditions it. It's the accumulation of restlessness that finds its object.
We can say, can we not, that the sound is a condition, because if you don't watch the movie,
for
you don't
accumulations.
Get, by accumulation, yes. But if you didn't watch the movie, you don't get frightened by the horror movie if you don't watch the horror movie.
But some people go to the theater to look at the horror movies and others don't.
Yes.
So already by accumulations that it happens.
Yes.
But with the thinking, can that movie be horrible?
No, it's so the arahat could go to the horror movie and not
anywhere.
And not have any attachment or aversion.
For any kind of akusala at all.
And we go to the movie, as you say, by accumulation, that we like that particular movie. Yeah.
No understanding the arising and falling away of sound as no more. That's all. Everything gone.
Something really horrible could happen to an arahata, but he wouldn't. Like in the case of Angulimalo, you know, when he was stoned, he was bleeding, but he wouldn't have any aversion towards it. But what about, I was thinking about young people who go to music at jhana that's really, really loud and it's quite painful, so they're attached to that. They're not attached, they're attached to the sound, or just the accumulations, or what's happening there, because that's a kusala vipaka, that's so loud.
So we have to study each different citta. Mm. A kusala vipaka is moment of hearing,
mm-hmm.
but to be attached to aversion is not the moment of hearing.
No. But they, there's got to be a lot of aversion there for many people. So it's the...
very natural.
So all agitation, all disturbance, all difficulty in life is not because of the rupa, it's because of the accumulation of lobha, dosa, moha. So all problems in life come down to lobha, dosa, moha. And it's important to appreciate, otherwise it's always... thinking it's the other people, the other place, the music, the sound, the visible object, but actually it's all down to the accumulation of kilesa and the anusya that we talked about yesterday, the latent tendencies that condition that akusala to arise at those times.
So I would like to ask, to confirm that if we go to the movies or to listen to the music, it is for the pleasant of mind. And so similarly, if one is like to do meditation, it is also for the pleasant of our mind. It is no different.
To go to the movie, there's no wrong view about the practice. But going to meditation, it's because of wrong understanding or wrong view.
So even go to meditation is worse.
Right, because it's done by wrong understanding.
No understanding and no accumulation of kusala.
Wrong view,
wrong.
Right view.
Okay.
Like and going to look at the rainbow or the sunrise, it's just following attachment, but no idea that it will lead to more calm or to jhana or more understanding of the teachings. So it's just common, ordinary attachment, different from when one closes one's eyes to try to have less thinking or to experience calm or jhana. This is
but if it is not for any kind of developing jhana, it's just for the peaceful of the mind, it is even that it's still worse than, you know, the normal pleasant activities.
No understanding of peace at all.
Okay. I have another question about the those people who, you know, like the scientists who achieve a big achievement in their life, like Einstein or some other people, or as Sarah say that when we share with other people and we help other people, there is no clinging to oneself, and it is the moment of akusala. Akusala. For example, Mother Teresa, she does a lot of, you know, sharing, a lot of helping. But I wonder, she's from another religion. Of course, she doesn't study Dhamma like we do. Then once there is that moment, there is any understanding like us, or it is another way of understanding.
So like Jonathan said before, we can say, oh, when there's kindness or metta at those moments is kusala. But when we think about a situation like, oh, going to the temple and presenting a meal or helping the poor children in India, we're talking about a long situation. So actually, different cheetahs at different moments, at moments of kindness and caring for the others or sharing what one has, those moments are kusala, they are calm at that moment, no attachment at that moment. But other moments of thinking, I am the one who is sharing or giving, at those moments of wrong understanding, it's akusala. So different moments. But if there is no understanding of realities, no matter how much kindness or generosity there is naturally in a day, and we all know people who have accumulations to be very kind and generous, but if no understanding is developed, it's not the path taught by the Buddha. It cannot lead out of samsara. It cannot lead to the development of the path, because behind it, it's all the idea of I am giving, I am sharing, I am being kind. There's no understanding that even these moments of kusala are conditioned realities which don't last for an instant, not to be clung to at all, and not belonging to me or anyone else.
But those kusala moments, someday it will lead to, you know, the path, the right path, or no?
With no understanding, cannot.
So you mean there must be, like we say, a start. When they go to this path, they start to develop the understanding, then can the understanding develop from those kusala?
The start of development of understanding is hearing the teaching about dhammas. Without that, there can be no start, no matter how much other kusala is developed by the person in their life. But just a general comment on your question. First of all, we cannot know the citta of other people. So even if they lead a very apparently wholesome lifestyle with a lot of generosity or care and concern, it's impossible to know the extent of the wholesomeness involved. One can know for oneself, and one knows from one's own experience that so-called wholesome deeds that are done are really a mixture of wholesome intention and unwholesome mental factors too. For example, wanting one's kusala to be recognized, that sort of thing. So we should not make any assumption, but just understand for ourselves the moments that are wholesome and the moments that are unwholesome. And the second point is that in terms of understanding, that is a degree of wholesomeness that's quite different from any other, what we call mundane wholesomeness, ordinary wholesomeness that everyone knows about, even though they haven't heard the teaching of the Buddha. The understanding of realities cannot begin unless the teaching is heard.
So back to the questions about horror movies and accumulations. So I think we understand that it is not conditioned by the horror movies or on the outside circumstance, but it's from the accumulations. So how is it related to when the Buddha says, like, associate with the good men and good friends? If it is not from the accumulation of goodies, so even when we meet good friends, can it help?
Does the horror movie help you to understand the teachings?
If you have understand before, even the moments
not
of Abhisala can be...
that movie, but from hearing the right words about realities.
So whilst watching that horror movie, this sound, this visible object, they can be understanding any time at all. But if one had never heard about hearing, sound, visible object, then there wouldn't be any arising of understanding. So the understanding that can arise at that time, it's not because of the horror movie, it's because there is the accumulation of understanding which is developed from hearing and considering the teachings.
Yes, but I think it already has to come from the accumulation, right? I think sometimes the accumulation is the one that decides how it is going, like in the bad way or the good way. But it has always come from the accumulation, but not from the outside factor.
So even the interest, like the interest whether to go to this movie or that movie or go here or there, all these accumulations will condition whatever occurs in life.
Sure.
In this way.
Pakatu
Upanisya Pachya is like what kind of food one will select or what one will think in the movie, like one person may be very scared and frightened and another may just be bored and close their eyes. So it all depends on those accumulations. Now we're here because of accumulation to consider more about dharmas and appreciate the benefit.
But the beginning, it really isn't cultivating kusala, but knowing realities as they are, because unless there's the vipassana, we can't know from direct experience what is kusala and what is akusala. We're guessing, aren't we? So the beginning is to know different realities as they are, to study the different realities. But we cannot know from direct experience what is kusala or akusala.
But even kusala or akusala, like metta, attachment, these are realities too. Mm-hmm. So from the beginning, it is the understanding of all kinds of realities, seeing, visible object, hearing, sound, metta, attachment, the difference between calm and attachment. So even though it's very little understanding in the beginning, understanding develops, and it has to know and directly understand realities. Satipatthana has to develop before it is the vipassana jnanas. So understanding has to just develop very gradually of all kinds of understanding to really understand what is reality and what is not reality, and to really have firm confidence that dharmas are anatta.
A lot of what we talk about now is in the negatives. So, for example, if you say, if we go somewhere to develop understanding, that's wrong practice, isn't it? So it's a kind of, you're looking at the negative. So if you think about special time and place, that's wrong. If you're trying to select an object, that's wrong. If you think, how can I be aware, that's also wrong. So a lot of this is the intellectual understanding, which is kind of sorting out what's wrong practice.
So it's showing how subtle the right path and the right development is, and how it's the complete opposite of what we are used to thinking, because we're used to thinking of, I can practice, I can be calm, I can stop thinking. So it's showing it's the opposite of what we're used to thinking. But understanding can develop, and it can begin to develop even now.
So
you can understand reality. So that is the
that's
path.
That's all part of
so the... what you call negative is all the wrong path, but there is a right path, and it can be developed.
Sorry.
we are discussing the characteristic and examples of wrong view, as well as the characteristic and examples of right view, just like we discuss the characteristic of the unwholesome mental factors as well as that of the wholesome ones, because all realities are to be known in the development of understanding.
Are there more kusala in a day?
Yes. More akusala, yes, in a day. Sorry.
Negative or positive?
Negative. But the problem is we don't know that akusala.
So better to know. The truth is the truth.
On the question of knowing the difference between kusala and akusala, not until the level of jhana, I think you said. But we have to bear in mind that jhana can be developed.
Jhana.
Yeah.
He mentioned jhana.
I'm mentioning jhana.
Okay.
Jhana can be developed outside of the dispensation of a Buddha. Mm-hmm. And that requires knowledge of the difference between kusala and akusala to a very fine degree. Mm-hmm.
So if you were a very nice person, it would be a lot easier to develop awareness.
Why?
Because there's less akusala.
But more wrong understanding.
But if you have the same opportunity to listen to the right teachings, and one person's very, very nice, and the other person's a bit selfish,
yes,
the person who's very nice can pick it up quicker.
Less akusala.
Yeah, less akusala.
Well, that depends on the accumulation, previous accumulations of understanding, not being a nice person.
Okay,
depends,
yeah,
on accumulated
factor, yeah,
understanding and wrong view, rather than how much other kusala has been developed.
Mm-hmm. Like Anguimala. Maybe.
Anyway, you all know that I'm a beginner for Dhamma discussion, and the day before yesterday, we already discussed a lot, and honestly, I could not follow very well because not so many Pali terms, first time for me to hear. But I could remember immediately the word kusala and akusala. And today, because we talk about it again, and I just want to ask a very, very specific question, some like example about kusala and akusala. So just in a case, like my friend, she donated something, and then actually before her action, I did not think about it, but after she did it, I wanted to do the same thing. And just because I want to do the same thing, something I think good. So is it kusala or akusala?
It means that you don't know kusala and akusala.
Okay.
So we cannot just tell from the activity at all.
Okay.
We cannot tell, for example, at the moment of passing the microphone, we cannot tell whether what moment is kusala and what moment is akusala. Nana, do you know what kusala and akusala is? I just include her as well, because it's a beginner conversation. Do you know what kusala is?
Little bit.
What is kusala?
Kind, something like
kind.
Thinking is kind. Kind thinking.
Kind thinking. Good thinking.
Yes.
And moments of kindness. So that is kusala.
Yeah.
And what is akusala?
You want to be comfortable and then want to be want little bit greedy.
Very good examples. Very good example indeed.
But that's Chinyo Dhamma.
Who is kind and who is greedy?
Akusala is greedy. Kusala is kind.
Is anyone kind? Is your daddy kind or your friend kind, or is it just kusala that is kind?
Just kusala.
And when there is unkindness, is it your friend who is unkind, or the dog that is unkind, or is it just akusala that is unkind?
Just akusala.
So this is a very important point, that actually they are just realities, just dharmas. Is that correct?
Correct.
Right, very good. And yesterday we talked about how there are those realities that can experience an object. What are they called?
Nama.
Namas. And actually there are two kinds of nama. There is, so this is two more new words. There is citta. We talk a lot about citta. So seeing is a citta, hearing is a citta. The citta is the kind of nama that is the leader in experiencing the object. But any leader needs to have some friends or companions to assist it. So the companions, the assistants, are also namas because they experience an object. And they are called chetasikas, or mental factors. So kindness is a chetasika. Unkindness is a chetasika. Memory is a chetasika. Feeling is a chetasika. So these are all namas, but two different kinds of namas. And back to your point. Yes. So at each moment now, is there any idea whether the citta and the chetasikas arising with it, whether they are kusala or akusala at this moment?
I think I don't know.
Cannot know.
Cannot know.
And what about when you're helping to cut the cake like yesterday? Is it possible to know at any moment whether they are kusala or akusala?
No.
Because usually they're just some moments of kindness, but many moments of ignorance, some moments of attachment to the pleasant cake. So very little is known about actually what is kusala and what is akusala, No matter what the activity is. But the important point that Nana helpfully pointed out is that these are all dharmas, and each one is not self, not Nana, not Hui, not Sarah, not anyone, just different realities that arise and fall away. And we're used to thinking this is a kind person or an unkind person, but actually the citta and the chetasikas change at each moment. So sometimes kind, sometimes unkind, sometimes friendly, sometimes unfriendly. So nothing lasts at all. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think yes. I got your point. Yeah. Thank you.
If somebody gives something useful to somebody else, is that always kusala, that moment of giving something away? So giving food to somebody who's hungry, must that not always be kusala?
There must be some kusala, but it could be strong or weak, like when someone gives a donation to the temple, maybe they would like others to think they are a kind person or something like that. So it must be some generosity, but it can be very weak, who knows? Mm-hmm. So actually, the only way it can ever be known is by understanding. One cannot know by the appearance, one can only know for oneself.
Mm-hmm.
Like when someone pays respect in the temple to the triple gem, and they bow down, who can tell whether it's kusala or akusala jitas?
I think it's easy to presume also that it's got to be kusala, but you can sometimes, I think it's easy to give with a lot of akusala, like somebody might tell a child, say, to give something to somebody, but they don't really want to do it. But the person is told, you've got to give. So they give eventually, but there might be a lot of akusala involved in that process.
And that is why we talk about realities. Your name again? No. Because you may wonder why we talk about realities, but if we don't talk about realities, we just think about situations like I'm going to do good deeds in the pagoda, or I'm helping my family in this way or that. But without understanding realities, it's just an idea, but actually nothing known about what is kusala, what is akusala, and it's all taken for me and my experience and a situation. So the reason we discuss more about all these details and these dhammas is to really understand more about what is true in life at this moment. Does that make some sense?
So now I will say about I feel during 3 days. I feel I am up here listen what we say about I feel my feeling we want to research how to have a good behavior, rely, you know, what is the reality?
And we research or we understand what is reality so that we know that it's not I who has good behavior.
Good behavior, yeah.
But not for I. Not for me.
Not for me.
Just not for oneself. Just for understanding dharmas, but not my dharmas, my behavior.
Not my behavior, meaning other for another.
Actually, we learn in a sutta that there can be the development of kusala and the development of understanding for the sake of oneself, or for the sake of the world and other people, or just for the sake of understanding. And what is most precious or most useful is not the understanding for oneself or the understanding for the world, but just for the sake of understanding.
Yeah.
Because one appreciates how important in life, the most important thing in life is just understanding of Dharma for the sake of understanding, but not for oneself.
Okay, thank you.
I remember that right understanding arise with kusala citta, but in another way, which way kusala citta can support the panya to arise, right understand can arise with kusala dhamma. Yeah, can you explain more about this?
We understand that there is no one at all. There are different realities, right? But how can there be such clear understanding? of one reality at a time, because many moments of ignorance, without ignorance there cannot be akusala at all. So at moment of understanding there is less ignorance and clinging, on and on. So if there is more clinging with ignorance, is it more difficult to understand whatever appears now?
Kunha mentioned about the Mother Teresa, she did a lot of good deeds to the other people, but as her, as I understand that her accumulation to do a good deeds, but without understanding about the reality now, so how the...
It's impossible.
Impossible.
Otherwise, we don't have to listen to the teachings and understand anything at all. Just having kusala, which is not enough. For example, there is seeing right now. Doesn't it something to be known? Or let it go without understanding? And how to do good in order to know it? That's why we have to understand even goodness must be different from the very beginning, with or without understanding.
So, I have another question. So, for the past 3 days, so I think that I understand or the understanding is what we are, I mean, is the most important thing. And we cannot like urge ourselves to understand. It will come naturally and maybe it will be accumulated from moment to moment and we cannot force ourselves. So I come back to what Kung explained, or I mean raised the question yesterday, that whether or not or when it is the right time for him to share his understanding, because right understanding is very important. And so I also wonder the same thing, how and when we can know that we have the right understanding.
Isn't it like with metta, if there's an opportunity to show kindness, like if an insect is in the room and we take it outside now, we don't think in advance, oh, that will be the right time, but we see there's an opportunity to help, so we just help. And just now when I was explaining something to Num, and you, and she needed a little explanation, so you didn't think about in advance, oh, this is the right time or occasion. You just leaned over and started to help or explain. So just like any kusala, when there's an opportunity, one just helps as best one can. And we have very little understanding, but we just share a little bit according to the opportunity, yes.
Okay, so even with very little understanding,
but
still we can share.
If there's an opportunity
to share.
And it's more beneficial than sharing other things. So if there's an opportunity, like your friend just wants to go to the pagoda to meditate all the time, and you know your friend is getting more and more disturbed or more removed from daily life, you can just, like I asked Gern, ask some questions. Okay, what is the purpose? How will it help you? What about now? What is real at this moment? Just help your friends to consider a little bit for themselves.
Okay.
I think you can also share resources like books and take discussions and you know, links to yourself, etc. Even though your understanding may be very small, but you're just beginning, but you have access now to a lot of resources which can help anybody.
Can give some signposts.
I came very interested in the Dharma because of a book that Sarah gave me. So it wasn't through asking questions to Sarah. It was just that she gave me the book, and within six pages of that book, I realized, oh, this is really quite interesting. So there are many
different... You asked a lot of questions too, right?
Yes. There are lots of ways of helping, even if our understanding is quite weak. So, and we're only beginners, and we're all only beginners, really.
Thank you. With our discussion, we cannot understand correctly. Because when we read the book, listen to the radio, it's easy to get us to go to the wrong way with our understanding, not... Yes.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same with me, because when I came across the books, I then read other books, and then I started meditating, concentrating on breathing, and I went very dizzy and almost fainted. So I think that we almost certainly will go wrong in the beginning anyway, because we have a lot of akusala, but we have a lot of our own ideas, we have a lot of ideas from people around us, but the more you study, the more that you listen and consider what is right, that will correct itself, so you, that's how understanding develops.
Because even that we bring people to the discussion, but we cannot know that they take it the right way or wrong way. So, you know, we just share and we don't know how the people react, how their accumulation.
It's the same for all of us, I think.
On the other hand, we also had some of our Dhamma friends who are very generous in spending time with others and sharing what they understand. But, you know, because they listen to Ajahn's also, but they also have some of their own ideas. And when they share their understandings, it's mixed with their own ideas. So I think that's also part of it.
And that's why when this question came up yesterday, Ajahn said, what about now? What about at this moment? So even at the moment of thinking, shall I share or not share, or how can I share? What's the reality now? Seeing now, this thinking now, this wondering now. So when one's speculating about what shall I do, but what about understanding at this very moment? Because it's the understanding now that is precious, no matter how life goes or no matter what one says or doesn't say to one's friends, but what about at this moment? Because the firmer the understanding is, the more confidence there is about realities now, then naturally, if one is sharing, it will be more beneficial anyway. So what's actually important is understanding even now, even whilst thinking like that.
I turn back to Hung question about in what ways the kusala supports panya. Can we say that because panya arises with other kusala chittasika?
They have friends who are very good, but no interest in understanding the truth at all.
Yes, see? Maybe.
So it's lack of understanding the benefit of understanding.
And do you have good health now? Or do you have headache and can't focus and listen, that sort of thing? And time free from work to attend discussions and so forth. Mm-hmm. There's so many ways in which result of good deeds in the past supports one's interest in the Dhamma. Of course, there has to be the interest in the first place, but given that, then the other kusala is a supportive factor, because we have a lifestyle
and means to pursue the interest.
But I'm still wondering in which way the kusala goodies can support the right understanding can arise.
Can we say that when there is understanding, the kusala deeds or kusala supports? But when there is no understanding at all, you try to find a way to be more or be good in order just to have it. And that is wrong, because the idea of self, thinking that not hearing the words of the truth at all, only kusala can bring about to be conditioned. But it is helpful when there is understanding, because the understanding, the truth, will lead to more and more kusala.
And back to what Zhao said about he feels that when he closes his eyes, he can understand more or better. I don't know if it is just like for myself. I think that when I'm interested in what other people are saying, my eyes are open. It's like...
And for your eye health, it's better just to close, see? But even so, they can be thinking, lots of thinking in between, unexpectedly.
Yes.
So it doesn't mean that you can control anything.
Sure.
Relating with sharing topics, so I want to say about the... I remember as the Buddha time, there are people, he can remember at least one sentence. How can he say his understanding? But after that, he became arahat. After that, I think very easy for him to share.
We cannot understand all conditions, but we know that only by conditions that can happen.
Yes. That's why I said the sharing to somebody, our understanding is not very too important. That depends condition. If we understand clearly, we can. That depends condition.
But don't wait until then. It has to be now. To know how much accumulation for understanding is there or not.
So we shouldn't make a question like how long we will. Yeah, that's right.
How long is a negative?
How about now? Please help to elaborate a little bit more. Let's say at the moment of seeing here, not actually the moment, the period of the moment, immediately I see the glass. Glass is here, microphone here, Ajahn, everything here. Then can you explain a bit more where the idea of the cell there, because seem there's no cell at some moment, but yeah, please help to.
We have two words in Pali that I'm sure you're familiar with. One is Sakaya Ditti. So Sakaya Ditti means taking realities for oneself. So the hardness that's touched here is taken for my leg. The softness here is taken for my body. So when realities are taken for being oneself or belonging to oneself, it is Sakaya Ditti. But not just the realities that are taken for oneself, realities are taken for other people and for glass and table. So the visible object that's seen here is not understood as visible object. I think I see a glass or a plate. So the visible object is taken for something. It's taken for being a glass or a suit or a saucer. So this is atta ditti. Atta ditti includes all kinds of wrong view about atta, including sakkaya ditti, but also including realities outside the body that are taken for someone or something. Because it's not the understanding that what is seen now is just visible object, that what is heard now is just sound. So as soon as there's the idea that it's an air conditioner that is heard, it is atta ditti. It's the wrong understanding of sound as just sound. So it doesn't mean that during the day, whenever we pick up the glass or think about the saucer or ask someone to pass a microphone, that there is wrong view. Not at all. Most of the time, we just do these things and speak with attachment and ignorance as usual. But sometimes when thinking, like in a discussion, when we really think that this hardness really is a glass in reality, at that moment it's atta ditti. So it's not the use of the words like glass or table that is wrong. It's when it's the view that what is touched is something other than tangible object, that what is seen is something other than visible object. So it's the view, not the language, that we're talking about.
But when the sutapanna has eradicated sakkaya ditti, in that case that includes already the atta ditti.
Yes. Because actually all kinds of wrong view depend on sakkaya ditti. So when there is no more wrong understanding about I, my arm, my body, my seeing, then no other kinds of wrong view. If there's no wrong understanding that this is my seeing, there will be no wrong understanding it's your seeing or someone else's seeing or that this is something. So all kinds of wrong view are eradicated when sakkaya ditti is eradicated. So the reason we study more and more about different realities is to understand that these are just dharmas, that they are not my dharmas or belonging to me or the glasses dharmas, but they're just different realities in life. This is why from the very beginning we have to understand the difference between realities and concepts, because otherwise no matter one performs great deeds all day, no way to eradicate the wrong view of self.
Concept is just only like thinking of one by oneself.
Thinking is real, but the idea, the glass or my friend Gern, is an idea.
Yeah.
So it's thinking, it's a concept that is thought about by thinking, not by myself.
You said that when there is seeing, there is immediately thinking of glass and microphone and table. This doesn't mean there is wrong view, because there can be the idea of glass or table without there being wrong view. It's just idea of concept. So we need to understand what Sarah was saying about what are the kinds of wrong view, what does wrong view mean? We should not assume that just because there is no actual understanding at a moment that there is wrong view.
Then even with the seeing the glass and table immediately with the right view, then there is no idea of the self there. Is that correct?
What do you mean by seeing the table?
See, I'm sorry,
Okay, thinking of the table after the moment of seeing, everything it seems immediately appear like a table. Now, not the shape or the...
Just thinking of shape and form.
Just thinking, yes.
And conceptualizing, but it doesn't have to be wrong view. But it could be attachment, it could be conceit, it could be wrong view, it could be kusala. When there's kusala moment, there's no wrong view. If the citta is kusala, even though there's the idea of table or chair or person, there's no wrong view.
I mean the idea of the self.
Yes.
At every akusala moment.
Not necessarily. When there's dosa, there's no wrong view of self also. But there can be wrong view of self in between moments of dosa.
But is there you?
Conventional meaning.
No, I mean. Really?
No, at all.
Not at all? Who is holding the microphone?
I'm holding.
See, you begin to understand the moment when you take reality for self, when it's there. But when it's not there, no idea of Sakaya, Didi, that is me. One moves all around in the day without the idea that I am moving or stretching my hands or legs, right? But when one says, is there you?
Yes, the idea of me is already here.
Understanding is there.
That's wrong.
Because there is you. See?
Like we've seen the dogs running around all day with lots of loba, looking for their food, looking for friendly companions, not thinking in words, but thinking about different objects all day. Any wrong view arising for these dogs?
Because no view
about whether there is I or not. They're just following attachment and ignorance all day, busy following loba, but no wrong view because no thinking. Is it I who is looking for the food or not?
Is there a dog?
Yes. I tell the conventional meaning.
You take that for something permanent as dog. But when there's no such idea, it's just a story about that which is seen.
When can I say that?
But one can see whatever is there at that very moment when it's there. But when it's not there, you cannot know about it.